saves sinners. There are three reasons why that's true, according to Paul, in this passage that we read. And each of those reasons begins with the letter C. First reason that the Apostle Paul and we with him ought to be encouraged to honor and glorify the one who saves sinners is Paul recognizes his corruption. And with him, we need to recognize our corruption. Paul's corruption and ours is the first C. Verse 12 begins with Paul offering his thanks to Christ Jesus our Lord for giving him the strength and faithfulness to serve him in the capacity he is serving. Paul is thankful that he has this opportunity, in this case, to mentor Timothy as a teacher and leader in the church at Ephesus. What was it that made Paul thankful for his calling? He gave thanks for this calling that they enjoyed, because he knew well his corruption. He knew well his corruption. He was three things, he tells us. He was a blasphemer. He was a persecutor. He was a violent man. In essence, he is identifying himself with those he just finished describing in the preceding verses. So if you will take a moment to just bounce your eyes back to verses 9, 10, and 11, you'll see what I mean. We also know that the law is made not for the righteous, but for lawbreakers and rebels, the ungodly and sinful, who are unholy and irreligious, for those who kill their fathers or mothers, for murderers, for adulterers, for perverters, for slave traders and liars and perjurers, or whatever else is contrary to the sound. Paul has identified humanity in that list of sins that demonstrate the corruption of the heart of the unsaved. And of those sins, he speaks of himself as a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a violent man. We only need to go back to the book of Acts to read the Holy Spirit's testimony concerning Paul's BC, or before Christ, days. In chapter 26, we read of his desire to force people from one synagogue to another to blaspheme. Saul of Tarsus, one of those who had become followers of Jesus Christ, to renounce him as Messiah. Jesus was falsely accused of blasphemy, and for that he was crucified. Now Saul, one of those who believed Jesus to be who he said he was, because he arose on the third day as he said he would, to blaspheme him by denying him. In chapter 9, we read the account of Saul's conversion on the road to Damascus. We want to look at that passage in the Bible, Acts chapter 9, we find in verses 4 and 5, the Holy Spirit says this. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. He was a blasphemer. He was a persecutor. Here we would do well to take a moment to notice perhaps something behind the veil of being a persecutor. And that is this, that persecution is not simply something that is done physically, as certainly Paul was doing. Persecution is something that is done with a tongue as well. And God would be warning us here that if we speak caustic things about one another, those who name the name of Jesus, we're not simply persecuting those whom we see. We need to understand. When we verbally persecute someone who names the name of Jesus Christ, we're persecuting Jesus himself. Paul's corruption. Don't we sometimes find ourselves involved in those same kinds of corruption? It is in that first verse of that ninth chapter of Acts where the Holy Spirit testifies to the validity of what Paul says to his beloved son in the faith about being a violent man. Meanwhile, Paul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. Paul saw his corruption. Paul understood his corruption. These three traits spelled out by Paul in verses 9 and 10 characterize him before his encounter with Jesus Christ. And these same list of sins in verses 9 and 10 certainly describe well, do they not, the lifestyle that you and I lived before we came to know Jesus Christ in a saving way. Paul's corruption and ours is very clearly spelled out in this portion of Paul's words to Timothy. What did this move Paul to do? And what did it move us to do when we came to grips with our own corruption? Second, see Paul's confession and ours. Paul's confession and ours. Let's make a long story short version of Paul's conversion is found at the close. The verse is the heart of this message this evening. There at the close of verse 15, Paul confesses of whom I am the worst. And so what is the of whom referring? We only need to move our eyes back one word. He says he is the worst of sinners. And then he goes on and makes that clear, does he not, in verse 16. The worst of sinners. He comes right out and he says, surely Saul could have looked around And he would have found others who were committing far more heinous sins than he himself was committing. And each one of us here this evening is capable of looking around, and we were capable before we came to know Jesus as our Savior, of looking around and seeing others who were far more heinous sinners than we were in our own opinion. But what was it that led Saul to understand himself to be the worst sinner? I suggest the same thing that happened to him happened to each of us when we came to know Jesus. That is, he had a personal encounter with Jesus Christ that enabled him to understand the standard whereby we are to judge our own moral righteousness is not anyone in the flesh, such as we are in the flesh, but with Jesus himself. And it was that very Jesus whom he encountered on the road to Damascus. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? The ramifications of that drove Saul to an appreciation, properly so, of his own corruption and led him to make this confession. I am the worst sinner. Isn't that true for you as it was for me? When we came to grips with who we are when we're born into this world, dead in our trespasses and sin, following the prince of the power of the air, who is the evil one. Our hearts are desperately wicked. So wicked that we ourselves could not even understand it. Say time and again that the Word of God, particularly Paul's letters, address us not as sinners. You see that in Ephesians. As saints. And he's able to address us as saints because when he looks at us, who by his grace, through faith, have laid hold of Jesus Christ, he doesn't see our corrupted heart, that heart of stone. He sees Jesus. And when he sees Jesus in us, we are saints. Praise be to God. But when we see ourselves apart from Jesus, even though we are in Jesus, we yet sin. And when we sin, we're no better than any other person who sins. find ourselves caught in a sin, it is perfectly appropriate for us to say, I'm the worst sinner. Because it helps us understand that no matter what the sin is we have committed, it deserves our condemnation. So rather than keeping it to ourselves and beginning to experience what we sang about in David's life from Psalm 51a, we pray, God, that we would be swift to confess our sins when we commit them. Gives us this reliable, this trustworthy, this Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's what we rest our salvation upon and nothing else. On Jesus and Jesus alone. When we sin, we flee straight to that Jesus who in effect, when we sin, it's as though we're crucifying him again and yet we're not. Lord. for this first of these five trustworthy, faithful, reliable saints that group and ground us in our lives as individuals, name the name of Jesus, and as a congregation committed to following the Lord's lead. To you belongs the glory.